All right, well, let's pray. Good to see everybody. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, God, your provisions. God, even in this last minute, storm-driven makeshift, God, when it's easy not to see, God, how you are faithful to us. God, we know the truth. We know that you love us, and God, you will always provide for us. And that if you are for us, God, what can be against us? God, truths that just so hard, God, to lean on and bank on. But we pray today through your word that your truth would be evident, God, and bankable. So in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're on 1 Corinthians 13. And we're going to talk about love. And I think we know a lot about love. And I've been humbled in going through this. And I just feel schooled, you know, just schooled by what God has to say about love. And it's not intuitive. And love is a summary word, and it's also who God is. God is love. Scripture says that. And it's a summary word, and it's all about not me. You know, love is patient. Love is kind. It's not self-seeking, right? It seeks the interest of others. And you almost feel like, you know, this law, actually Scripture calls it the law of love. So when we become believers, we enter into this new law. And it's very unnatural. I mean, we think we're loving. In many ways, we are. I mean, there are some semblance of love in the world, isn't there? Right? We are drawn to these love movies. And so there's a law of love in the kingdom, but we almost think it's not that different. But I think what we're seeing in Scripture is that the world is governed by a law of fairness. You know? And you heard me many times, you know. I mean, you know you hit up against that law of fairness, right? Because you can only do so much, but you got to get paid back. So it's not really a grant. It's more of a loan, right? I mean, I'll take you out to lunch. I might even take you out to lunch two or three times. But at some point, right, you have to start taking me out to lunch. I'll do the dishes. I'll do it again and again. But you're going to have to start doing the dishes. You know, because at some point, you're going to have to pull your weight. At some point, it can't be just one-way love, right? It's predicated on two-way. Now, I'm not saying that there's no such thing as selflessness, okay, in the world. But I am saying that the flesh is wired. This old identity, this old heart is wired, right, with a balance scale, right? And you just can't. Like, you have a coworker, they'll come in, hey, can you help me out with this? Hey, can you, like, it just hits up against that. And then you got Christ coming onto the scene, right? So we're governed by the law, and everybody understands, right? Right? Lady Liberty, the balance, right? Like, that's the scale of justice, but in reality, it's the scale of fairness. I mean, just truth. There's a difference. Right? Because, and Christ lays out the difference. If you go to work and you say, hey, I'm going to give you $100 for the day, right? And, yep, okay, give me $100, I'll work. And then you got these guys coming in the middle of the day, right? And then you got guys coming almost at closing. And when the payout is happening, like, everybody's getting $100. People are like, what the heck? That is not fair. Right? Wait a minute. What is just is that you got $100. You agreed to get paid for $100. You got $100. But see, the flesh don't work that way. Right? When you come to work, right? Right? You're not just seeking justice. You're seeking fairness. You know why? Because fairness is about me. Fairness is about me. If somebody gets an award and you think you deserve that award, then you're going to get that award. You need to get that award. If someone gets a bonus, I mean, that's why, like, people, see, even companies, they don't tell you how much other people make. Because even The world knows you're governed under fairness, right? Don't be asking God for justice. We don't ask God for justice. We ask God for fairness. Be careful what you ask for, right? Be careful of asking for what you deserve, because you might actually get hell and a lot more suffering than you do now, right? Oh, a little bit of mercy for me, lots of justice for others. And so we're wired like that. And here's the thing. The enemy knows that. Enemy knows that. It knows you're not, you're okay with $100 for the day's work, long as everybody gets $100 for the day's work. God forbid somebody got $150 for the day's work, right? You'll be crying foul. You'll be throwing that flag down. Woo! Whoa, whoa, whoa. Right? And so, I mean, that's where we're at. And so Christ comes onto the scene and he says, yep, you guys are governed by fairness. And here's the thing. Come into the kingdom and be governed by love. Right? Now, being governed by love is you're not that debt that people incur to you. Now, I will tell you, that's got to get paid. That's got to get paid. And the whole gospel is predicated on the idea that when God gave you his son, I mean, this is paraphrasing, but he gave you the whole kit and caboodle. See, like I think many of you, I think, might, actually, I appreciate it when people come up to me and say, you know, and talk to me about like what I say sometimes, because I said only rich people are generous. And that's true. I still believe that. Bill Gates forgave Nigeria's polio debt, right? 70-something million. Because Bill Gates, 76 million, he might be $4.3 billion in his asset. Now it's going to be $4.2997. It don't matter to him. He's going to be filthy rich no matter what. And so he can afford to be generous. But Jesus tells a story of this poor lady who comes to give an offering. And this rich guy gives a lot more. A lot more. He gives 10% or whatever. Lots of money. But the lady gives literally the shirt off her back. And Jesus said, who's the rich person? Who's the rich person? You don't have to be rich, rich. But Jesus is saying, who's the rich person? That's the whole idea about becoming into the kingdom life, right? Coming in, like accepting the gospel is that you're rich. So that means you get this new heart that's not governed by fairness. Because if you still have one heart that's just governed by fairness, then you got to get what everybody else is getting. And I promise you, that's why you're unhappy. That's why you envy. Right? I mean, you can't walk out the door and not be unhappy because somebody else has got more. Somebody else is going to be prettier, more handsome, richer, right? Somebody's going to be more, and you're not that person. God, if you're really loving, then you would be fair. Here's the breaking news. God is not fair. And thank goodness, because he gives us far more than we deserve. So when you come into a relationship, you become an heir. You become an heir. God pours in love. You become radically rich. So that means you're not governed by the law of fairness, which you were once governed. You're governed by love. That means, now that doesn't mean God's like, oh my gosh, I became a Christian. I got like $1 billion in my bank account. And not like those prosperity gospels like, oh yeah, if you become a believer and if you're really in faith, right, then God's going to give you money. Are you serious? He can't give you enough money. What I'm saying is your heart is no longer governed by fairness. You know what that means? Right? Man, you can be happy for people, right? Wow. Like, you know, I liked this guy for 5 years, but like he likes you now. Man, I'm happy for you, right? Had a crush on him for like ever, right? Oh, you got that promotion? Been wanting that for a while. Hey, congratulations. How do you like to feel that? Oh, that's what the offer is. See, because you know the only person in the world that does that? God. And then or did, and then he like, okay, hey, you can be like that too. Because you know why? When I was a kid, you know, and when I was growing up in Korea, you know, right before, like I was rich once, right? And then I became poor because we're coming to the United States, you know, we sold everything. And then the whole family moved into this one house, and it wasn't even a house, it was like just one room. And the bathroom was outside. Like, and we had to go outside to go to the bathroom, you know? And then, of course, at night or when it gets cold, you know, you're like, you don't want to be going outside because you could fall in. I was always afraid when I was a kid of falling into that pit of poop and urine, right? And but we all stayed in there for a while, for like over a year. And then we came to the United States. First of all, I don't even know why I'm telling that story. But, I mean, no. The point of my life, okay, is I just didn't know I was poor, even during that time. Because the neighborhood kids, they kind of looked up to me. Because I was the city boy who came in. I was really good at all these games, right? But, like, I didn't even know I was poor. You know why? Because everybody was poor in that neighborhood. Everybody was poor. You want to be unhappy? Own that poor house in a rich neighborhood. I promise you, you will be unhappy. Okay? Go to a rich high school. I didn't even know I was unhappy. I was in Landover, Maryland, PG County, right? And I wasn't poor in PG County, right? Everybody wore Kmart specials. I mean, if you were lucky, I mean, a lot of them wore stuff from thrift shops. But then when we moved to Woodbridge, right? Man, everybody, not everybody, but almost everybody had Nike shoes. And I think many of you know the story. I had to go get a paper route just to, in the morning, getting up at 5 o'clock every day so I wouldn't be ashamed. You think this is a joke? You think you're not like that? Of course you're like that because you don't feel rich, right? You got to at least like blend in, you know, like not be ashamed, right? Here's the thing. Like, God is saying he's going to give you a new heart and he's going to take you to that next place, right? So you don't have to, like, compare yourself all the time, feel ashamed all the time, like, walk out the door, go somewhere, want things that, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to be envious. Like, God is going to make you rich because you know why? Because you got God. And you're going to have him forever and ever and ever and ever. And you're so rich. And God says, you can feel rich. That means you can be happy for people. You can allow people. Oh, you came like 1 minute before closing. Oh, here's $100. Right? You can do that. And you can, you know what? And you know like how it is like, oh, I want to be a servant. I want to serve. But you know what? Like people, most people you serve don't deserve it. And you get to find that out. And here's the thing. When you serve people, they take you for granted. You know what that feels like? Being taken for granted? For parents, you know, for children, friends. I mean, it's like being taken for granted is a horrible feeling. Unless you know you're rich. Unless love has been poured into your heart. And here's the thing. That's exactly what God is doing, right? Love is about that. Hey, look, I know right now you don't feel rich, but extend forgiveness and you'll know you're rich. It's like a little toddler getting up and walking. I know you've not walked before. I know you've just been crawling on the ground like a snake, right? And God's saying, get up and start walking. And he's like, I don't know how to walk. God's saying, no, get up and start walking. Because you're not meant to crawl. Now, that's what it's like to be a Christian. Being a Christian is getting up, right? And knowing that you got this new heart, right? That's not governed by the law of fairness. I mean, you go out, forgive people. I was so shocked one day. I had this one guy, when I was younger, betray me. Stabbed me right in the heart. I was going to leave the church, you know? And I was about on my way out, and I was just like, last minute... It didn't help that he was actually, you know, one of the pastors, you know. And I got up and I was like, man, you know, like, I don't even know why I'm here. But God, you got to do something because I got this thing right here in my heart and you got to do something. And at the sermon wrapped up, I got up and I didn't know whether I should confront him because he didn't know that I knew, right, what he was doing. And I just extended my hand and I was like, there's just love poured into me. As my hand was going out, love just poured into me. And I was like, you know what? I don't even have to talk to him about this stuff. Like, I just, you know, I was like, where is this coming from? Love was being poured into me. Because I was moving towards something that I didn't want to do. And you know what? Made all the difference in my life. Gave me confidence. Wow, you mean like I can go through life, move towards people, and then if they hurt me, you mean then I could just forgive them and release them because there's more where that comes from? Because you know why? In relationship, when people hurt you, right, you just get hard like never again, right? That's what you do, right? That's what we do. That's what I did. Not so with you. Not so with you. You know why? Because you're rich. Because you got a lot of love, right? It's not from you. Right? Love is being poured into your heart. Right? People will say mean things. You know, I can't take this anymore. Yeah, you can. You ever thought about that? Yeah, you can actually. Yeah, you can take that again. And I'm not saying, oh, being a Christian means to be a doormat. No. And we're going to talk about that because that's where truth comes in. See, love and truth, right? God is love, but Jesus also says what? That he is the truth. See, love and truth are not just ideas. All right, let's read. Love, it, right, does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Okay, adikia is a Greek word, means either wrongdoing, falsehood, right, unrighteousness. And that word rejoice isn't just rejoice, like, oh, I'm like jumping up and down, like singing. It means also, it's like a greeting, right? Like greetings, you know. Greetings, Matt. You know, greetings, David. Like, it's a greeting. It's like, it also means to welcome. So you welcome, you know, you welcome wrongdoing. You greet it like an old friend. But it rejoices with the truth. That's what love does, right? So this is, I'm going to read, summarize what I'm going to talk about a little bit, right? The sub-point, which is love does not rejoice at wrongdoing means the flesh, which is like that old heart, right, that's governed by the law of fairness, suppresses the whole with the part to serve its desires. So there's a difference between truth and being right. See, like the flesh, there's a tendency in us that that we'll take something that is true or right, and then we'll blow that up, right, and make it the whole. If you ever got in a fight and you said something, right, what do they say? Gotcha. Let me quote that, blow it up, and completely define you by that entire, just that one quote. Never mind you've been loving for 10 years and you've been, you know, like, you're going to try to do, that's our tendency. We want to be right. But see, if you do that, that would be unloving. And that's where truth is the big picture. Because if you do that, you might be right. You may even win the argument. Because that person that's at the other end of that might not have like a counter. Right? People are actually applauded and heralded. I remember when I was a kid, man, we used to have these cut down fights. You know, oh, your mama, you know, like we'd be just going at it, right? Oh, you so ugly, you know, whatever it is, you know, be going on and people like, and you, like, you're getting all these great ideas. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, let me get you that, right? And then you rehearse it, right? Because that's what it was when I was growing up, right? And I remember I had this one girl in high school. She says, you know, Henry, like, I was really afraid to hang around with you. I was just scared, like, that I might get cut down, you know? Like, you would just, like, do one of your wisecracks. Man, I had no idea, right, that it was actually injuring people. And I did that so that other people wouldn't be able to hurt me, right? So I would get back at them and people wouldn't start that with me. We know probably as I say that, you probably go, oh, okay, we know that that's not right. You know, you're grown up. Now you don't need to do no cut down fights. We do. We still do it. When we get in a fight, we still welcome all those ideas. You know, we've become Perry Mason. We've got lawyers, my goodness. I mean, like, you get all these great, oh, yeah, let me get you with that. Even if you're like, oh, let's agree to disagree, then you, like, walk away and you're still getting great ideas. Oh, I'm going to get you with that later. And you're still thinking about it, right? Why didn't I say that before, man, right? And then you want to go and talk to other people about it, right? Seek your counselors, right? And he goes, oh, you know, and they'll give you some greater ideas, right? Because we rejoice at, we welcome wrong. We welcome, because that word also means falsehood, right? We welcome falsehood. You see, falsehood is not something that's only incorrect. Falsehood is when you take something correct and you make it the whole, right? That's why love and truth are like two sides of the same coin, right? Because if when you are right and the other person is hurt and injured and like, or when you're right and you're still bitter and, you know what I mean? It's like you, right? It's got to feel right. If you're having a conversation and an argument and you're both walking away hurt, injured, licking your wounds, bitter, you know, depressed, in despair, angry, that ain't right. Right wasn't happening. Truth wasn't happening. Right might have been happening, right? Because you now have two people banking on their rightness, but truth wasn't happening. So you're not rejoicing in the truth, you're rejoicing in right, which is actually a falsehood and a wrongdoing. And here's the word, the Greek word that is commonly associated with wrongdoing and falsehood, unrighteousness. In the act of being right, you become unrighteous. Adikia is a word translated most often with unrighteousness. You become unrighteous by being right. Isn't that crazy? Right? You ever stop? Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You ever wonder why you become a lawyer every time you get into an argument? Like, when you're governed by love, you guys, okay, stop. Stop with that lawyer stuff. You know? Like, you ever wonder, like, just stop. Stop being a lawyer. Right? Stop trying to win. Because you lose when you win. Romans 1:18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. There's that word, adikia, right? Who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. You know what you're doing when you actually, you know, by your being right, you suppress the truth. You know what I'm saying? You're going to seek to be right, and you're going to suppress truth in the process. You know how you're suppressing truth? Because you're being unloving. I mean, that's as simple as that. You're being unloving. And what God is saying is, that's not righteousness. That's unrighteousness. You're taking, that's a bastardized form of truth. James 4:1. What causes quarrels and causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You know when this happens? You know when you want to be right? When you want something. Including wanting to win a fight or an argument. Like if somebody disagrees with you, disagreement causes fights. You know why? Because you want that thing. And here's the thing. Disagreement isn't about like, oh, I want to go and rob a bank. Oh, you don't want to rob a bank? Let's fight. It's not that. A lot of times it's about two good things, right? It could be over breastfeeding, right? It could be over, I mean, lots of great loving topics. And you'll fight over it because you want it your way. And then you'll be calling upon, right? Because you already got the flesh is a good lawyer. And here's the thing. The enemy knows that tendency of yours. Satan and the world is arrayed to get you to buy into being right as a substitute for truth. That's where it's going to get you. And you know you're buying into it because you'll feel angst, bitterness, angry. You know that you're not thinking about truth. You're thinking about being right because the heart is just full of turmoil. You know that. You'll try to find some excuse. But let's just be honest. You're being unloving. And it's actually exactly what Scripture says, right? Right after it says, hey, what causes these fights? Because you want to have it your way. Wait a minute. Love is about trying to what? Accommodate and to give somebody else's way, as long as it's in the way of truth. But fighting, a lot of times it turns into, right, about you. And so then you'll like employ these other tools. That's why James 4:7, right, a few verses later, it says this: submit yourselves therefore to God. Submit, be humble. Like, fire the lawyers, right? On retainer, like fire them, get rid of them, right? Submit yourself therefore to God, listen to his voice, resist the devil, because the devil, I promise you, right? The enemy's probably encamped, okay? Usually it's looking for a good fight. They're like spectators, right? They're, you know, they're like fans. Oh, hey, guys, man, look, Henry's over there fighting. Let's go, right? And they'll be like, you know, in the corner, man. Hey, man. Oh, she got you with that one. Woo, that was a good one. But hey, how about this? Then you'll be like, yeah, I'll get you with that. Here's the thing is, you ever notice that that's happening to you? Of course you don't notice that. Right? You don't notice that. Satan loves it because you don't notice it. You don't go, oh my gosh, Satan, that's a horrible idea. When have you ever said that? You take all good ideas, right? But I promise you it's happening, right? Because that's the word of God, right? If you believe in that, right? Like, Satan's the father of lies, his demons, right? They're out doing this work. It's looking for a good fight. Or it's trying to stir one up. All right. Luke 13:23 says, all right, this is a story, right? And it's a little, twist to the story on the narrow gate, but it says this. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? Okay, Jesus, how many Christians are really there, right? And Jesus, like, he doesn't beat around the bush. He says this. And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able to. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. And he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. That word, evil, is the same, adikia. Just workers of falsehood, right? That means, man, you're the person will take that idea and you're running with it, right? You're running with it, right? You'll be listening to news. Oh, that's a good one. Like, I'm going to go with that, right? You're like running with those ideas, those good suggestions. And you know how you know you're running with those ideas? Because you're unloving. You are selfish, and you do not work for the interest of others, because the enemy will convince you they don't deserve it. Of course they don't deserve it. That's why God made you rich, give you a new heart. God knows they don't deserve it. But here's the thing, just like you didn't deserve it. You know what I'm saying? Like you didn't deserve it. The Christian life, according to Jesus, because who lives that life? That's the narrow door. Workers of adikia. Workers of falsehood. Workers of unrighteousness. People who take all these great, like people who just don't even know. Of course there's Satan. Well, I believe in Satan. It's just that I don't know, but Satan never lies to me. The demons ever don't work on me. You know, it's probably the other people. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of selfish and I struggle with selfishness and I'm really not selfless and I don't work towards that way. But, yeah, the enemy doesn't really, you know. Because you know why? Because as soon as you try, like you even get close to the narrow door, the enemy's like, man, they're unappreciative of you. They're going to take you for granted. They don't deserve that. Tell you what, you try to go through that narrow gate, man, the fight is on. Right? There's a song, isn't there? Fight is on, right? I don't know, maybe not. Somehow it just came to me. I don't know. See? Get behind me, Satan. You know what I'm saying? You know. All right. Why am I saying this? Because this is the real world. This is the reality of our Christian life. Right? You can try to argue it, like we're not, oh, I'm not like that, you know. Okay, what God is saying is, well then, if you're not like that, and if you're not doing that, then you're on the path, okay, and this is exactly towards love, towards selflessness. If you're not like that, and you're bogged down day and night, I just think about me. And it's just so heavy because I got to get more. And you're constantly worried and just, it's like all you can think is about the way you look, how much money you don't have. And it's like, me, I'm just so sick of being so tied up with me. And Jesus will say, okay, well, I came to set you free. Let's go through that narrow door. So it's not about you. I'll give you a heart that won't make it about you. So you're not weighed down by you. That's what Jesus is saying. That's the Christian life, folks. All right. So this is love rejoices with the truth. Let me summarize that. It means that new self, right, this new heart, welcomes the whole. See, the new self isn't looking, right, isn't like the lawyer, the Perry Mason, who's looking for that clause to win that argument, to get your way. It's not looking for that. The new self is about love, right? It's going to want to lose some arguments. And it welcomes the whole. Truth is a direction, right? And we'll see why. Many of you are already probably surmising. Truth is a direction that leads us to oneness. You know what truth does? It leads people together. It leads us to become one with God. That's what truth, there's a purpose to truth. Truth isn't there, right, for truth's sake. I remember we were touring colleges, and University of Chicago has this motto, knowledge for knowledge's sake. Are you kidding me? Like, that's the very definition of arrogance. Like, knowing Christian stuff, but I'm not close to people. Like, I don't go out of my way for people. I'm not that close to God, but I got my PhD in theology. God help you. Because knowing truth will drive you to oneness. Now, I'm not saying that. Okay, I want to show it to you from Scripture. John 10:25. I told you, and you do not believe, that the works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not amongst my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Here's the thing. If you're his, truth resonates with you because you know his voice. Like you know, you're coming into an awareness. All the good ideas you get when you fight and want things, they're not his voice. They're the voice of the enemy. They're your own voice. And here's the thing. Jesus is saying that's exactly what it means to believe. That's not me saying that. It says, you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. And my sheep know my voice. You go with a different voice. You go with the voice that wins arguments. You go with the voice that tells you why you don't have to serve. You go with that other voice. Right? You like that voice. Right? Yeah. You know what? I agree with you. I mean, so-and-so doesn't, are not like that. So-and-so is not like that. Oh, whoa. When you say so-and-so is not like that, so you don't have to be like that, that's the law of fairness, folks. Right? Now you're employing the law of fairness, which is the world standards for your life. You're comparing yourself to others and trying to make you satisfy for not going out of your way more. That's why it's the narrow door. That's why it's the narrow gate. Because you know what? You might have 1,000 voices telling you you don't have to do that. You got 1,000 voices why you don't have to forgive, why you don't have to serve. You know, you got 1,000 voices why you don't have to be that loving. You got one voice, folks. One voice. One voice. The voice of the shepherd telling the sheep. And my sheep, they know my voice. And here's the chief priests, right? Here's what Jesus says. Or here's the account from Mark. And when they, the chief priests, heard it. Now, Judas Iscariot, the betrayer of Jesus, like just went to the chief and said, you know what? I'll do it. I'm going to betray him. Because I agree with you, right? Because Judas by this time is probably, Jesus said a lot of stuff. And Judas is like, oh man. Now, he's thinking that the kingdom is about power and authority. Jesus is going to come. He's the Messiah. He's going to become king, crush the Romans, crush all these, you know, oppressors. And he's going to institute power and authority. And Jesus is talking about how, oh, he's got to die, suffer. You know, he's got to do all, and you got to suffer, come through the narrow gate. You got to forgive people. He's saying stuff. And Judas is like, I didn't sign up for that. I don't know if I like being a Christian. I don't know. My life is more upside down than it's ever been. So he goes up to the chief priest and go, hey, look, I didn't sign up for this. That's not, I mean, I thought my life was going to be better. Man, I think it's going to get worse. So when they, the chief priests, heard Judas say this, they were glad. Wow, the chief was like, that's awesome. Like, we got one of the guys from the inner circle who's going to betray him. They were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought an opportunity to betray him. Man, they were glad. You know that word? It's the same word as rejoice, right? In 1 Corinthians, in Greek. Same word. Like you hear stuff like that's, you know, in the American English, sometimes we call that gloating, right? It's kind of a cousin to it. You gloat. Somebody hurt you from the past and you heard they're not doing well. Man, you're like, oh, you know, you just want to kind of bake in that a little bit, you know? You actually want to talk about it in some Christian way, you know, like, hey, you know, like try to spiritualize that somehow, right? But let's just be honest, you're gloating, right? And here's the thing, it's evil, right? You don't do that. You know why? Because a new heart, it doesn't rejoice in that. It doesn't rejoice, right, in the wrongdoing of others. It just doesn't. The flesh does, but you got to know who you are, right, for that to happen. And here's why. John 14:6, it says, I am the way. I am the direction. I am the truth and the life. It says, there's a difference. See, truth is going somewhere. It's a direction. It leads us to God. When being right leads you away from people and God, right? I'm not talking about you had to say some truth to some people even though they didn't want to hear it, you know. Like, there are times when you bring correction to people. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, truth moves you towards God. correction is about getting them to move towards God. But the point is, truth moves us towards God. That's what truth does. And Jesus, you know what? He is that person that moves us towards God. That's why truth is a direction. If truth is getting you separated from God, you know, if you can't get on your knees and pray right after that, after being all, you know, right, you might be right, but you're unrighteous. Because you're bitter, you're angry, you're still, you know, because if you move towards God, right, and truth will help you do that, it probably you're going to have to submit to God. You're going to have to be humble. And that's exactly John saying it again in 1 John. He says, if we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We lie. Because if we're practicing the truth, we're moving towards people. And together moving towards God. That's what truth is. Like if truth isn't doing that, you're just being right. Right? You're being right in your theological, right, correctness. But you're not being true. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Right? If we just humble ourselves, and you know, I was like, okay, like I want to sacrifice being right. I mean, like, I don't want to listen to that stuff anymore. That's just a bunch of nothing. And here's the thing. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what, folks? Same word, adikia. Unrighteousness. You know, I wish there was another way to, you know, like cleanse us from being that. Because love is not that, right? Sometimes, you know, like I don't want to go and confess. I don't want to go and talk to the person. I don't want to. I just want to like let's just ignore it. Like I'll just like brush it under the carpet, or you know, like or just you know, or like just count them out. You know, like I know a lot of us do that, right? It's like, oh, they hurt me. Okay, well, I'll just like. Like, count them out. Like, you know, like, okay, you go from inner circle now to not even second tier anymore. You go to third tier. You're still inside. You're still dirty. You know why? Because you're not, what God is saying, if you're going to move in truth, you're moving towards people and together moving towards God. You got to go and talk to them. You got to forgive them. There's not a, here's the thing. If you got to talk to people, but you don't have a heart of forgiveness, like at the end of the day, you still got to forgive them. You know why? Because you're rich. Forgiveness, you know what the Lord's Prayer is? God, forgive our debts. As we forgive the debts of others, right? Sin is a debt. When people wrong you, that's why you sue people when people wrong you. You sue them. You get compensation monetarily. Same concept, right? The reason you forgive is because people injured you. But God is like saying, look, when you sin, like let's say, you know, $100 billion worth of sin to me, Henry, I gave you like 500 billion, 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 okay, on top of that. Jesus overpaid our debts. And that's why we're able to go and forgive other people their debts. We just don't know it. We just don't know we can get up and walk like Jesus. And that's a good feeling, actually. All right. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory. But the one who seeks the glory of him who sent is true, and there is no falsehood. See, the reason why this is about love, because truth, right, is about the glory of God. It's not about me. It's not about me. And here's the thing. We are so much happier when it's not about me. When it's not about my fame. When it's not about my glory. I don't have to worry about getting the next car and the next house and the next. Like when it's not about me and I'm not preoccupied with that, then I'm happy. And there's no falsehood. Falsehood, right, feels like, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't feel like falsehood because it's about you. Look, you deserve it. Like, let's be about you, okay? It's about time. Like, let's talk about you first. Change, right? That's how falsehood starts then. And you're like, yeah, no, keep talking, yeah. You know, like, yeah. Oh, you deserve so much better. You're so much more talented. Look, I mean, after all the things you've done for that person, yeah, right? You know what I mean? Like, how ungrateful. You know what I mean? Like, and then at the end of the day, how do you think that conversation is going? Are you moving towards them in oneness? You think, like, God's going to give you a bye with that? Like, oh, yeah, you got a good point there, Henry. Yeah, no, chuck them to the winds, dude. Like, we're still tight. We're tight like this, right? Chuck them to the wind. You think God's like that? No, he's not like that. Because whatever you're doing to the least of them, least of those people, you know who they are? Undeserving, ungrateful people. Right? You have done unto me. Because that's why we were like. God didn't love us because there was something special about us. There's nothing about us that would warrant his gaze. That's what scripture says. There's nothing. You know why we're loving? Because he loved us. And that's sometimes it's really hard to take. And so, the question for you is, do you want to be free? Because you know why? If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Like, hear what I'm saying. Not Henry, but hear what the word of God is saying to you. If you want a life of truth, like, then you want to be his disciples. And here's the thing. Then you will know the truth. Then you will know the truth. You know why? Because truth moves us to God. And that's what abiding is. And here's the thing. Then the truth will set you free. And then tonight you can go home. You don't have to be like obsessed with yourself, your circumstances, right? You just, you know what? I'm just going to think about, okay, God, what do you want me to do next then? Like, let me just do that. That's truth, folks. When you think about, like, oh, what will they think of me? And what would they this and that? Like, and if your decision-making is all based on the thoughts of other people, no, it's just like, just stop. Just say, God, what do you want me to do? What's the most loving, truthful thing to do right now? If you just ask yourself that question, you don't have to, like, think about a million things. How do I position myself in this? And, like, position. No, if every day you just get up and you say, okay, God, like, what is it that you want me to do today? Not tomorrow or the next day. Let's just talk about today. What is it that you want me to do today? Like, how can I do? Okay, you want me to go and, you know, study for that exam? You want me to go write a paragraph? Let's just do one paragraph. I mean, what is it? Should I take some food for, you know, should I call this guy up, right? You know, and get with him? You know, what is it you want me to do? Like, let me just be true to you, right? How do I move towards you? Oh, you want me to go and, like, apologize or confess? Or what do you want me to do? God, how do I move towards you better? Guess what? God will free you. You'll be happy. But that narrow door seems a lot narrower from afar. And sometimes all we can do is just get closer. You know? And but here's the promise of Jesus. Like, you'll just be happy. Folks, you'll be happy. I promise you. You'll be free. You'll be released. And people hurt you, and it'll still hurt. Don't get me wrong. Okay? When people hurt you, it hurts. You know? The circumstances of your life, there's still pain. God knows that. Right? Being in a family, being in a relationship, it's all painful. But here's the thing. Right? You can rise to the occasion. Man, God could, when you move towards people and towards God in those painful moments, that's when the love pours out. Right? You're the person who's not always running away from the hurricane. You're the person going in. And you know what? When I die, like, I want to be that guy. The guy that's going in, right? You're not going to go, right? And you're my age, folks. You're not going to go, oh, thank goodness it was about me. You're not going to do that. When you meet Jesus face to face, it's not going to be like, I listened to your sermons, went to the praise concerts, went to a lot of seminars, right? No. Whatever it is that I learned from you and your word, God, man, I loved you because you love me, right? That means loving others. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, sometimes your word is hard, and we know, God, you came to set us free. God, you are the way and the truth. God, we know that, God, everything in this world is, God, you know, just trying to trip us up, trying to invite us to a different kind of life, God. And I just pray, God, give us courage to respond to your word, God, to go through that narrow door, God, to put away falsehood, God, that we might not be workers of falsehood, but we just be honest, God, just be honest, like, you know what, I'm just not a loving, like, what I said was mean, you know, what I said was not kind, or, God, helps us just be honest people who's seeking the whole of truth, not parse it out into bits and pieces and pick up what we want. So God, just pour out, God, into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.